Welcome to the Positive Disciple Podcast, where we interact and learn how to be and make disciples in our normal everyday rhythm of life by obeying Jesus and practicing the positive habits that he modeled and taught. Listen, learn, and practice.
Welcome to another edition of Positive Disciple. As always, I'm your host, Mark Kolo, and I'm very excited to be here again today. Today, we are going to be going into different areas of the positive practices that have to do with the things Jesus instructed his disciples to do. This show, Positive Disciple Podcast, is primarily targeted to helping you become a disciple who makes disciples. And we are very excited to have a member of our team, our international team in Activate, present with us today as we share with you some of his experiences as a disciple maker, a practitioner right in the field. And please introduce yourself to our audience.
My name is Losha Manase Alberto. I'm from Congo, DRC, Kisangani. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I work with Global Activate.
Wonderful. So good to have you here, Losha.
Thank you.
Now, you've come from Congo, DRC, but you tell us a little bit about your background. Were you always, had you always, as a Christian, been a disciple of Jesus? How did you get to, you know, become an obedient follower? And how has that, what difference have you seen between that and the Christianity that you practiced before now?
Well, I was baptized in 2003. That's okay. When I got baptized. I'm born in a Christian family from parents who are preachers, and baptized in 2003.
Your parents were both preachers?
Both preachers, okay. Yes. Uh-huh. So, you know, born and grew up in that environment. But of course, that relationship with Jesus Christ was never, you know, there was no intimate. I never had an encounter with Christ one-on-one. You know, so in 2010, I had to, you know, move home, away from home for my studies, you know, join university. Okay. And the Lord opened the door for me to be in Kenya for my studies.
Okay, so you came to Kenya for further studies.
Yeah. That was between 2011 to 2009.
Okay.
So while in Kenya now, you know, I usually say that God took me far away from my family, from my people, yeah, to draw me closer to him.
Wow.
Because my journey to Kenya, being away from my family, yeah, of course, for the first time, it made me grow in my, okay, spiritual life as a Christian, okay, my relationship with God. Mm. Having gone, of course, through things, you know, with studies and stuff, they made me realize that there's no one who can get me out of those tough situations apart from God.
Okay.
So tough situation, you know, drew me closer to God, to have an encounter with God, know God. And of course, I thank God for my parents, of course, for bringing me in the ways of the Lord. Yes. My father, especially, I remember when we were coming to Kenya toward the last days, he used to tell me, like, I have nothing to give you, no money, no nothing as a, you know,
the pastor.
I have nothing to give you apart from God.
Okay.
So I'm just training you in the ways of the Lord.
Yeah.
He trained me, you know, intensively, I would say, in prayer life and everything. So yes, having gone through stuff, through things, situations throughout my studies made me seek God further.
Because so, you had to depend on him.
Depend on him.
You right? had nobody else to lean on. No, you were in a no, foreign country
yeah,
alone by yourself. So God had to become your all in all.
My all in all.
So what happened?
So, my studies, coming from a French-speaking country, I did not have opportunity to do English first before going to school. So I went straight to school, and wow, it was a disaster. Having done 1 year, it was a disaster. Okay. My results were not good, so I was discontinued. I had to appeal. After appealing, I was told, no, I have to go do English first of all and then come back.
Wow.
So one full year, I was not in school. 2012, I was outside trying, okay, to be trained in learning English.
Yes.
And then come back. I will again start from year one.
Wow.
I did one semester. The results were good, but I was not still, you know,
yeah,
I did not feel I was not comfortable in the course that I was taking, because I was taking a different course. So the Lord, you know, led me to change my course. I went to do mass comm. Then I went back to year one again. So I went back to year one three times in the same university. That's my testimony. But the Lord was gracious to me. So God, now discipleship. Of course, in my church in Kenya, there's discipleship. People are being discipled. And some of my friends could tell me, like, well, why don't you go to, you know, disciple? Why can't you be discipled? Because being baptized in 2003 up to this time, 2011, I never knew about discipleship, to be honest. It was not real to me.
Yeah.
So, but I never took it seriously. You know, what is discipleship? I used to think discipleship is optional, or it's a department within Christianity that you can either take or not take. So I thank God to you, the ministry, Global Activates, and other people that I met at some point in my life in 2017, you know, started talking about discipleship, and the seed started, you know, growing inside me slowly by slowly. And when it came to 2009, I had to go back home, to return back home. I knew that I was going back home. Two things were critical.
Yes.
Two reasons, you know, of course. After finishing school, it's job, you know, career-wise. The Lord is taking me back there career-wise. And the second thing is, the first or second is ministry, you know. Yes. The job is an assignment.
Yeah.
So I was just praying God, like, Lord, so what's the assignment as I'm going home? Then I got home, I was like, Lord, what's the assignment? How can I serve you? Why am I here?
Yeah.
That was my prayer every single day. So at some point I felt inside me, the burden of having a platform, just a platform where people could come, Christian especially, and share the word of God.
So some of the things you encountered while in Kenya before you went back to Congo, they began to drive you to want to serve God. Before then, it wasn't really a priority.
Sure, it was the
priority. So how did you start discipling people back in Congo?
So I created a Bible study with friends. We started with the book of John by that time. We are going to the book of John. It was not easy. With the book of John, but we do not have a manual, a guideline on how to go about it. As we were proceeding, at some point I got now, I was invited, you invited me to go to Ready to Run, this training called Ready to Run. At some point, of course, yes, I had some indications that the Lord is calling me to a line of, you know, being a teacher of the word of God.
Okay.
I had, you know, indications.
Yes. Yes.
After going to Ready to Run, there's this lesson three, if I'm not wrong, you know, discovering your purpose.
Yes.
That was mind blowing to me. Ready to Run in general made everything clear to me on how God wanted me to serve him.
Wow.
You know, it came clear to me that yes, that's my burden, that's my passion, Rose economy in that line of being a teacher of the word of God.
Mm.
So, of course, when I went home, I wanted to serve God, but I was not equipped. I didn't know how to go about it. I did not have instruments, tools on how to serve it. Equipped, I was not.
Yes.
So Ready to Run, I would say, yes, that was the first step toward it.
Okay.
I had clarity on how to serve God. Then after Ready to Run, I was introduced now to discipleship called follow. Okay. In French, we call it suivre. That was my first time to be discipled.
Yes.
I will be honest.
Okay, so let me cut you there. By the way, let me just make a quick insertion here. Ready to Run is an online mission mentoring process, which we invite young people, you know, university students, you're a graduate, or you've not even gone to university yet, whatever stage you are at, as a young person and you want to discover your purpose, we invite you to plug into Ready to Run. Send an email to ready2runglobal@gmail.com. ready2runglobal@gmail.com, and we'll get back to you. So after Ready to Run, you now got into a follow group, which is our discipleship, disciple-making group. And you were discipled in that process. Then after that, you decided to do something.
Sure.
Yes.
After that, not even after, you know, follow. Uh-huh. During follow,
mm-hmm.
by the time we got to lesson five, I I felt like I can't keep this to myself. I have to share with a group of friends, because immediately after Ready to Run, since, you know, discovering your purpose, that lesson was a hit to me.
Wow.
I took a portion of it and translated it in French so that I can share with my friend, my group of friends.
Wow.
Yes, the pyramid, the vision pyramid.
Yes.
So I shared with friends, my six friends of mine.
Okay.
And then we decided, like, okay, we can't stop here. Why don't we have a platform where we keep sharing things of God together? Before, because the idea with the friends, it was for us to gather so I can teach them English. We were planning.
That was the original idea.
That was
original
idea.
For you to teach them English.
But the Lord had ideas.
Yes.
So after sharing with them, that we decided we should come up with a Bible study group.
Okay.
And then, you know, coincidentally, I was going to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Then I realized that follow is so simple to use. Mm-hmm. It's practical and very simple to use. It can be a very good instrument for Bible study, for discipleship.
Yes.
That's when I contacted you. I want to share this with my friends, the group here, but how is it possible for us to make it in French? And we thank God we're
able to translate it into French.
Sure, we translate.
So you began to use the French follow, which we call suivre, to disciple your friends, five or six of your friends.
Sure.
Can you share a little bit of their experience of going through discipleship through you? How has it been so far?
It has been very, you know, the Lord has helped all of us to grow into maturity, because all of us came from different denominations.
Okay.
I remember three of us were from Catholic background, Catholic Church, and others from other denominations. But there's one thing that brought us together is Jesus Christ, is the Word of God. And you could see how people are able to, be able to discover the truth. The revelation from the self, from scriptures, you know, and apply to their life and be able to share with others.
So it was no longer you, the expert Bible teacher,
coming
to download.
No,
it was
themselves.
Yeah, by themselves.
Yes, because we are all learners. We are learning together.
Yes.
And you could see and you could tell that God is speaking to each one of us.
Wow.
In different ways.
Wow.
That everyone is growing in the things of God. And of course, whatever we learn from God, that discipleship you learn, whatever you are taught, you ought to share with others. And that has been my prayer, that all of us, the six of us, should be able to share. But some of us have already started creating their own.
So now some members of your discipleship group, your Suive group back in Congo, have started their own groups as well.
Sure.
Some of them. Wow. So we're beginning to see gradually multiplication. And after that first group, you've also launched a second group.
Yes, after the first group, I launched my second group, made of three guys, of three people, and we are doing on well. Even when I'm still away, by the time we are doing this record, I'm still away. But back home, the guys they keep on
still going on,
still going on. Both group, they keep going on, because you know discipleship is all about not just the scriptures but the word.
Yeah.
The prayer.
Yes.
Prayer. So the group keep meeting for Bible discoveries and the prayer, prayer rendezvous or prayer.
Wow.
Prayer.
Now let me bring you into some of the things that your team back in Congo, your disciple making team, you are beginning to do. A few months ago, you guys had a burden to reach out to the prisons. Can you tell us a bit about that and how that has, you know, it has spinned out of your disciple making process to now people having a burden to take the gospel into the prisons in Kisangani?
Sure. So after, you know, having learned whatever God is teaching us as a group, as friends, we said we cannot keep this to ourselves.
Yeah.
We ought to take it to other people. And of course, among the target, the first target is the church, the body of Christ. We said, how can we, you know, because see, there is lack of discipleship in Congo DRC and Francophone world. I would say there is lack of. We have churches, but there are no proper structures. Most churches do not have structures of discipleship. So we said, how can we approach churches and then just revive this, you know, wake up these giants, sleeping giants at the church as far as discipleship is concerned. And we have introduced, you know, we are waiting for recommendations from church leaders, different churches that we have approached on how we can proceed. But now talking about the prisons, specifically for the prisons, we trusted God to open those for us to the prisons. we went and we were able to train 12 guys, 12 men, leaders inside the prison from Pentecostal background on how to use a DBS.
Okay. DBS means Discovery Bible Study. It's a simple inductive method whereby people are exposed to the Word of God and they get to discover the truth for themselves, and they tend to own it.
To own it.
Yes.
And then share with others. So we trained the 12 men. After training, we asked them the same thing. Jesus said, you know, whatever you've received, have you instructed, teach others the same thing. And I can tell, you know, I do receive SMSs every single day that, you know, Thanksgiving, first of all, that whatever you brought us, it has helped me, it has helped us. And people texting me that, you know, I can't keep this to myself. I'll keep serving the Lord. I'll keep this thing, giving this to the Lord.
This is in the prison.
This is inside the Kisangani Central Prison.
Wow.
That is happening. And we trust God that more fruit will be, because our plan, our prayer, once we went in there, that God, we are here to plant a seed, let it blow out.
Yes.
Let it blow out.
Let it become a movement. Let it become
a movement that we spread, and we believe it will.
Yeah.
Recently, the government took some measures due to COVID. Mm-hmm. That's why people are not allowed to go inside prison, so that we are not able to go and do an evaluation deep inside. But we trust God in a few weeks to come.
Yeah.
You know, the doors will be reopened so that we can go inside and evaluate things out. Things are going to be but from our contacts, our communication with guys inside, the inmates, the work is going, they are spreading the gospel.
And the inmates began to ask you for Bibles for themselves.
Sure, sure.
And you were able to provide both the written Bible as well as some audio Bibles to some of them, isn't it?
Yes, sure. There's a lack of the Word of God inside. And when we went for the training, the first need was clear that Bibles are needed inside the prison. Mm. And by the grace of God, through the ministry was able to provide a couple of copies of Bible in French and Lingala that we brought to them. They can use.
Lingala is the main language spoken in Congo.
Yes, Lingala is a main language. Lingala is a language. You know, Lingala Bible, but because inside prison, the language mostly spoken is Lingala.
Lingala.
Yeah. So we were able to bring a couple of copies of the Bible for them, and we believe it.
Swahili audio Bibles
Swahili audio Bibles,
because in Congo they speak Swahili.
Yes, Congo, we have Swahili and Lingala, and Chiluba in Congo as four national languages, but mainly Swahili and Lingala.
This is amazing, because you know what I'm seeing in the pattern of your story is a process of obedience. You know, you got to be discipled, and then you obeyed the command of Jesus to go disciple others. And now those people have also obeyed the command of Jesus to go and disciple others to the extent that it has gone beyond their own friends and networks, now even to the prisons. So this chain of obedience is bringing more people to an awareness of Jesus and, you know, the truth of who God is and how their lives are changing because of their discovery of Jesus. So I'm seeing obedience at the heart of this whole process. And our desire has always been that disciple making will translate to, you know, obedience. Because that's what Jesus says. Jesus says we should, number one, be obedient to him. But he sent us to go and teach others to obey everything that he has commanded. What's your vision for Congo?
My vision for Congo, you know, Africa in general. Africa, we can see Africa as a... We have similar challenges, similar situations, socially speaking, you know, politically speaking, economical problems, spiritually. Yeah. And the solution for African problem is discipleship. That's what I personally believe. And when you narrow it down to Congo DRC, the country is huge, geographically speaking.
I think it's the largest in terms of land mass. I think Congo is
the land is huge, so is the harvest.
So is the harvest.
Wow. The harvest is quite huge. We have churches in Congo, but when it comes to discipleship, Congo, Africa, and being a Francophone, you know, country, there is a lack of discipleship. Wow. So my vision for Congo is, you know, like one day, I believe one day, we will have disciples of Christ in all, you know, spheres of life, in politics, in economics, who can influence things, in media, everywhere, education, who can influence the ways of the Lord in all those areas. And We talk of being a Christian, you know, country, yes. 80-90%.
Statistically
speaking, but we don't live it.
Wow.
We don't live it, you know. Even inside churches, we have people inside churches who are Christians for years, but they are not living
the
Christian life.
Let me interject here. When we're talking about having disciples in all spheres of life, not just in church, but in all areas of society, of the community. One area that we had had conversations about in the past is education in Congo. Because education is the means by which a whole new generation is raised and prepared for life. It's one of the main platforms anyway, in addition to the family, you know, and society. But you once mentioned to me that there's a negative trend in schools. Do you want to share a bit about that?
Sure, that's a serious thing, and not just in school. This has affected Congolese society, even in government, in politics, and everything. In Congo, it's quite common that in Congo you can go for a job interview, you pass the job interview, you qualify for everything, but at your surprise, you'll be told before joining this, there's one more thing you have to do.
Wow.
Which is what? Join a cult.
Join a cult.
A cult. It's open. It's open Congo.
Wow.
For young people, anyone, a cult has become like something in the open.
Wow.
So my vision is Congo for Congo as well. Like in education, for example, we want to see disciples of Christ, teachers, lecturers, university lecturers, influencing children, these students in the ways of the Lord. If the agent of the devil worshippers can influence children as far as in high school, in campuses, why don't we do the same things? In Congo, children, students are influencing devil worship, doing cults, initiated as far as in high school.
Wow.
It's in the open. And at university, you don't speak about it. Some lecturers make students fail just because they don't want to be initiated. So it's in the open in Congo, DRC. So my vision, my plan, my prayer for Congo is that one day we will see disciples of Christ.
Amen.
Who can come up in the open and influence things in the ways of the Lord, in the ways of Jesus Christ, in education, in campuses, in the universities.
Because the lecturers and teachers from the dark side are using their platform currently.
Openly,
not even secretly anymore. Openly to, in quote, disciple the students into the dark world.
Into the dark world.
So your vision is to see
as disciples of Christ to come in the open as well.
Amen.
Because most of the times we are shy. We are afraid of it. No.
Afraid.
Yes. I just came here to teach, make my bread, make my money, salary, and then I go my salary, then go home. We don't know that God placed me here for a specific purpose.
Wow.
Yeah. That's why we are even targeting the University Kisangani, University of Kisangani, with the same thing with discipleship. It's also a harvest.
Wow.
That's when people go there, students go there, they should meet Jesus Christ inside there.
Amen.
And come out different. They should influence and transform those places.
Wow.
Even workers and the lecturers.
Let me use this opportunity to challenge our listeners and our audience. Congo is huge in landmass, but it's also huge in spiritual need. The harvest field in Congo is huge, and there are opportunities for you to plug in. We'd like to invite as many as are willing to partner with the work that Global Activation is doing in Congo. You can pray consistently. We will be glad to furnish you with information that will fuel your prayer burden for this very strategic nation. We'll be glad to give information of how you can support. You can actually invest and partner financially with the work in Congo. You can adopt the work in Congo and be a consistent giver or a one-time giver. You can also go. You can actually be part of the workforce in Congo. Congo is a huge country with how many tribes, how many people groups?
I think in terms of tribe, we have over 400 tribes.
Over 400 tribes. And some of those tribes are still unreached.
Sure.
And then, of course, there are generations. You know, young adults, youth, teenagers, adolescents, children that need the gospel. And of course, even older people. I'm simply saying the harvest is plenty in Congo, but the laborers are few.
Very few.
And the laborers are few because disciples are few.
True.
So our burden and vision in Activate is to make obedient disciples who make other obedient disciples, to multiply disciple making until there are sufficient laborers to engage the huge harvest. And if you would like to be part of that, please get in touch with us and we'll be glad to plug you in. Let me, as we bring this episode of PD, Positive Disciple, to a close, is there any closing remarks you want to make? What is there any challenge you want to leave with us as we have examined your journey of obedience and also looked at the harvest field in Congo?
My closing remark or challenge is that we have a responsibility as Christians, especially as the young generation, because there is hope for us.
Yeah.
We have that responsibility of influencing, you know, our spheres, our generation. We can we can either, you know, sit down, keep complaining, or be the change. So whatever the Lord has given you as a Christian, as a young Christian lady or man, young man, you know, give it to others. That's discipleship. The life of Christ that is in you, transfer it to other people. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't be selfish with whatever the Lord has given you. Be a blessing to others by bringing, tagging them along to follow Jesus. Let's change this generation. Let's change Africa. We can do it. Let's impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. So in other words, you're inviting people to become disciples who make other disciples.
Sure, that's it. Keep the chain. Keep the chain moving. Yeah, you know,
pass it on.
You are made a disciple and then pass it on and then pass it on and then pass it on.
Yeah.
That's the solution.
Wow, that is the solution. That, you know, Jesus is the hope of the nations. He is the answer to the cry of the generations. And we invite you to be part of what God is doing through disciple making, multiplicative and reproducible disciple making, where the gospel moves across natural social lines to engage people where they are and inviting them to become obedient followers of Jesus. So we see transformed cities and nations. We look forward to a time again when we can have our brother, Manasseh Losha Alberto from Congo DRC, to come and share with us some of the things that God is doing. And it'll be a pleasure to also have you join us in future editions of Positive Disciple podcast. Until then, we hope to hear from you about some of the challenges we have thrown out today. Please respond and let's get the job done. Let's work together. Thank you for being part of the show.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time on Positive Disciple. Bye.
Bye.
We hope you have been equipped in positive discipleship. Stay tuned for our next podcast and be sure to leave us a comment on what you are learning and doing to follow Jesus and make disciples wherever you are.